your Bibles with me. 1 Samuel chapter 2. If you'll turn there, I'm going to just give you another portion of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And I'm going to talk to you today about honor's reward. We're continuing our series about the church. And today I want to talk to you about developing a culture of honor within the church that will lead you to experience the reward that's attached to honor, okay? In 1 Samuel, I want to throw this verse out at you, though. Most of you remember Eli, he was the priest, and Samuel was raised up under Eli's ministry. Eli, though, had gotten lazy. He had become a glutton. His sons were ungodly, and he told them, don't you do it. But he didn't kick their rear ends is what they needed. Somebody say amen. As the leader, he needed to go to his sons and remove them from that place of ministry that they were in. These guys were scoundrels. They were, in essence, extorting the people. As the people would come and bring their offerings, they were supposed to boil the meat. They just took what they wanted from people. They were also sexually immoral. They would be having immoral activity with the women who came. God looked down and he was not pleased with this at all. And by Eli's inaction, his lack of response, God sends a prophet to him and he says this to him in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to go up to my altar to burn incense and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. And I want you to notice this, what he says. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your family line. And you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel and your family line, there will never be an old man. Every one of you that I do not cut off from my altar will be spared, only to blind your eyes with tears and to grieve your heart, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. I want you to notice that verse once again. God said, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16 is where we get what we call the Ten Commandments. One of those verses says this. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land your God is giving you. I want you to know this. There is a reward that's attached to honor. Look to the person next to you and say, there's a reward that's attached to honor. When you read the Ten Commandments, most of them are instructions concerning what not to do. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. But this one is different. This command has attached to it a reward for those who obey it or who honor their parents. God said, when you honor your parents, the reward will be you'll have a long life and things will go well with you in the land that I promised to you or in your promised land. God also said to them that whenever they rejected idols, there was a reward that went along with that. When they rejected idols and they honored the Lord, the reward was, God says, I'll show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. A thorough yet simple definition of this word honor is a valuing. A good definition for it is this term, a valuing. The opposite of honor is not disrespect. See, a lot of times we think about honor, we think that the opposite of honoring, God tells me to honor my father and mother or to honor one another above myself. A lot of times we think about the opposite. Well, I didn't disrespect anybody. I didn't say mean things to anybody. But really the opposite of honoring is to treat someone as if they are common or ordinary. Can I tell you that when we treat people around us like they're common or they're ordinary, that we are missing the mark? And see, in church, when we come together, in our families, when we come together, we're like, I didn't do anything. You're right, you didn't. You and I many times have failed to treat people as if they are uncommon and extraordinary, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see and view people as if they are extraordinary. Oftentimes people will say this. They'll say, oh, that's just RJ. He's been around church. Oh, that's just Harley. Oh, that's just Jake. No, that's Jake. And God's hand is upon his life. He's been called and set apart for God's purpose. He is uncommon. And he is being raised up even now to be an extraordinary leader in his generation. He will astound you when you see where God takes him and the things that God does in his life. Through God's hand upon his life, he will do and accomplish exponentially more than you and I can imagine. When I speak those words, faith begin to rise in people's hearts. I want to say it to you again. When we speak those kind of words, faith begins to rise in people's hearts. But it's just not my son, it's just not Jake who those words are to be spoken about. I wish I had time, if I could, to bring each of you aside and speak these words over you. Because the words that I'm going to speak, they're life and they're true. And it's what God says about you, and it's what God thinks about you. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care what your neighbors think about you. I don't care the things that have been spoken over your life in the past. This is what God says about you. And I'd like you to open up your heart to hear what God says. Not what man says, what God says. God says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God has loved you with an everlasting love, and that he has drawn you with his loving kindness. The Bible says that God made you a little lower than the angels, and he's crowned you with glory and with honor. The Bible says that God has proved his love to you and for you, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Oh, what love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called a child of the Most High God. Since you are now in Christ Jesus, you're a new creation. The Bible says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Bible says that the Spirit of the living God has made his habitation within you. God himself abides inside of you. You are a temple wholly set apart for God. God has raised you up with Christ, and he seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that God has a plan for you. It's a plan to prosper you and not to harm you. It's a plan to give you a hope and a future. The Bible says that you're somebody, that you're not ordinary, that you're not common. You're extraordinary and you're uncommon. And the favor of God rests upon you. You are his delight and you are the apple of his eye. That's what the Bible says about you. You're not common, you're not ordinary, and the guy next to you is not common or ordinary. When you understand who you are, there is no longer a need for competition. There's no longer a need for pettiness. There's no need for jockeying for position or jockeying to be seen. You can serve God and others with a whole heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, it says that we are to be devoted to one another in love. We are to honor one another above ourselves. Isn't that the kind of love that Christ demonstrated towards us? Now imagine a home where people are treated like they're extraordinary. Imagine a baby who's born, who from the time they're born, they hear words that you're precious and you're dearly loved, that you're not ordinary. Imagine a place where they are treated like they're a winner. Imagine a place where they're treated like they're precious, like they're not common, like they're not ordinary, but they are extraordinary. They've been set apart for the purposes of God. Imagine a classroom where every little kindergartner comes in, and the person who's teaching believes what we spoke about them. Imagine a classroom where that takes place. Imagine how far those children will go academically when somebody tells them, you're smart, you're beautiful, you're capable, you're able. God has plans for you. I see the talent. I see the gifts. I see how God has made you special in his sight. Imagine a company, a church, or a youth ministry that sees individuals as uncommon and extraordinary. First of all, everyone's going to want to be a part of that group. And those who are fortunate enough to grow up in such an environment are going to flourish. Last week, I said during my message that I sense the need to prophesy to you that we're coming into a season where there's going to be a distinction between the righteous and the disobedient. The scripture says that the Lord is coming and his reward is with them. And I sense this. I sense that God is showing up and his reward is with him. I wasn't planning on doing this message, and it wasn't until I was partway done with the message where the Lord reminded me of that word he put upon my heart to stress to you that the Lord is coming and his reward is with him. Not just the second coming of Christ, but God is showing up in people's lives and he's going to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God expects you. God wants you to believe that he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you come to him, you must believe that he is and that he is a what? He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's a reward for those who seek after the Lord, who follow after him. I don't want to miss the reward that comes from honoring. I don't want you to miss the reward that comes from honoring. The Bible says when we honor our parents, there's a, what would we say the reward was? Long life, and it may go well with you in the promised land, in the land that God is giving you. Okay? That's the reward that's attached to honoring your father and mother. It wasn't just for the Israelites. That reward is for us, that when you honor your father and your mother, God says he'll bless you with a long life. It will go well with you in the land, in the promise. I want to stress that. The promised land that God has for you. The place that God is taking you, that he has prepared for you. It's going to go well for you in that land. Whenever you reject idols and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, when you refuse to follow after idols, the Bible says that God will show his favor to 1,000 generations of those who fear him. 1,000 generations. Herb, that doesn't just mean that God's blessing just isn't on you, but it's upon your son and your daughters. It's on your grandsons and your granddaughters. It's on your great-grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. That's the favor of God. When we honor the Lord, when we put him first, his promise is, my favor will be upon 1,000 generations. There's nothing wrong. You know, we in church sometimes, people think it's wrong to want God's blessings and his favor. Oh, bless me, bless me. I'm telling you what are you going to say? Curse me, curse me? That's stupid. That's foolish. I want every blessing that he has. Every single blessing that he wants to bestow upon me, I say, Lord, give it. I pray that the blessings that have been held back, the things that maybe because of my disobedience or maybe because of circumstances or timing or maybe because of the enemy getting in the way, I say, Lord, remove every hindrance to an open heaven and pour out so many blessings on my life that I don't have room enough to contain it. That is honoring God. It's not honoring God to say I don't need his blessings. It's not honoring God to say, I don't value his blessings. That was the problem with Esau. Esau sold his birthright. He sold his birthright for a bowl of porridge. He didn't want the favor of God. He didn't want the blessing of God. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's what the word says. Why? Because Jacob wanted the favor and the blessing of God. My prayer for you today as a church is that you'll say that something will get inside of you.
Well, all I want is to make heaven my home.
I want to make heaven my home. And I want to take as many people as I can. And I want to have the favor of God. I want to walk in health. I want his peace. I want his joy. I want his prosperity. I want his strength. I want his wisdom. I want to touch other people's lives. Whatever good thing God has, I want. I desire that. Why? Because he's a giver of good gifts into our lives. Author John Bevere writes about there being a full reward for those who value and respect the Lord and others. He talks about a partial reward for those who are selective in how they esteem others. And there's some people who get no reward. And that's for those who treat God and his creation with indifference. During Jesus' ministries, you need to hear this. In Jesus' ministry, there were certain communities that he went into where he couldn't do many miracles. Wait, he was the Son of God. But there's something about God working. The Bible says this. It says that we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. There's something about God working in our lives. He just doesn't work on his own. There's an aspect of God working in our lives where faith comes alive. There's an aspect of God working in our lives where we have a part of what God is doing. It just doesn't happen on its own. There's a part of us, whether it's obedience, whether it's faith, whether it's trust, whatever it is, there's aspects that kind of, that when we engage, it causes God to engage. But if we sit there and don't do anything or don't desire it or don't ask, oftentimes we have not because we ask not. During Jesus' ministry, there were some people who said, wait a minute, isn't this Jesus? Isn't this Joseph's son? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? And Jesus could not do many miracles in their cities and in their towns. There were other regions, other communities where, for example, the centurion. Remember the centurion? The centurion understood authority. He said, I'm a man of authority. I tell my servant to go, and he goes. I tell him to come, and they come. They obey what I say. And I recognize that you're one of authority. So you don't even have to move out. All you have to do is speak the word, and it'll be done. What was he doing? He was honoring Jesus. The others was like, oh, yeah, it's Jesus. We know his brothers. We know his dad. Yeah. What did they do? They treated him as common and ordinary. And what did they get? Nothing. Can I say to you that in a church, when you treat Jesus as common or ordinary, when you treat his Holy Spirit as common or ordinary, yes, we should be familiar with him. But we should not treat him with contempt. We should not treat him as common or average or I'm just used to that. Every time we come into his presence should be an event where we say, this is an extraordinary privilege, an extraordinary experience that I have. The people who come in with that type of attitude where they honor the Lord and esteem him. Every time you come in, you know, the people who say, well, I don't know if God's going to do anything. As I said, I'm just happy going to heaven. You're really dishonoring him when you do that. You need to believe that he's our healer. The word identifies him as Jehovah Rapha. You're the God that heals me. The scripture says that he took the stripes upon his back for our healing. By these stripes we are healed. So when you come to God in prayer, if you're kind of like, well, if he wants to heal me, maybe he will. If he doesn't, You know, no, you need to come with a spirit of expectancy that says, your word says, not pastor says, not the evangelist says, your word says that by your stripes, we are made whole. And you stand upon that word, you honor him, and what will happen is healing comes into your life. But when you and I treat him with contempt, I'm not surprised that you're sick. I'm not surprised that you're broke. I'm not surprised that you're depressed. I'm not surprised that your marriage stinks. I'm not surprised when you treat him with contempt. He says, if you treat me with contempt, I'll disdain you. But if you honor me, I'll honor you. Do you hear that? He says, when you lift me up, when you treat me like I'm worthy of praise, I'm worthy of worship, when you believe in him, that's what activates. When we have faith to believe what he says, he responds and touches and moves on our behalf. John 13. So we treat him with honor. John 13 then says, it says this, John 13 verse 20, I tell you the truth. Whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Okay? Now some versions use, instead of accept, they use the word receive. Whoever receives the one I sent receives me. Whoever receives me receives the Father. Do you think we'd be going against Scripture if we took the word honor and placed that in there? The same principle is true. I want to read it to you. I tell you the truth, whoever honors anyone I send honors me. And whoever honors me honors the one who sent me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. According to Scripture, who gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, or the teacher? Who gave them? Christ. Jesus gave the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. His purpose in giving them was to equip his people for acts of service. So that the body of Christ may be built up, that people might be mature, unified, and filled to the full measure of Jesus. What do you think will happen if people honor the fivefold ministry gifts? What's the promise? See, there's a promise attached to honor. The promise that's attached to honoring the fivefold ministry gifts are this. The first is, they will receive a reward that comes when they honor them. They'll be equipped for ministry. They'll be built up. They'll be mature. They'll be unified. And they'll be filled with Jesus. When you receive, when you accept what Jesus has given you, what he's provided for you, I promise you when he gives you something, it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Okay? So when he gives you the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, when you receive them and honor them, then the word will be accomplished and you will be equipped for ministry. You'll be built up. You'll be mature. You'll be unified. You'll be filled with Jesus. What happens if you're allowed to treat spiritual leaders as ordinary or common? You will never reach your potential. You may as well decide now that when you do that, you will never, ever reach your potential. You'll be unprepared for ministry. You'll be incomplete. You'll be immature. You'll be divisive, and you'll be lacking Jesus. That's clearly what will happen. When you fail to receive what God sends, you miss out on the reward that comes. This is God. It's not like you don't get a participation trophy. Billy participated. Way to go, Billy. You don't get a participation trophy. In fact, what happens is he takes away, let's preach it like it is today. He takes away what you have. Those of you who squander the gifts and talents that he gives to you, those of you who fail to use the gifts and talents that he gives to you, what he does, he doesn't baby you and give you spiritual welfare.
What he does is he takes away from you his favor and his blessing, and he gives it to somebody else who will do something with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to collect on those guys who are neglecting theirs. I don't want him taking away what he's given me. I want to multiply what he's given me. I want to do something good with what he gives to me. I want to make more of it so that he can trust me with more. Can I preach to you? I'm going to have to tell you some things that's kind of hard to hear. And it's especially hard for me as a pastor to say them specifically to our church. If there's any church in the world, there's no place in the world that I want to preach like I want to preach here. I love preaching here to you. I love you guys. I look forward to this every week. I don't want to preach anywhere else. But can we for today, can we pretend that I'm somewhere else? Is that okay? I'm like guest speaker. Can I preach to you like you're somebody else and I'm somewhere else? Because if you'll let me do that, I can tell you the truth. Otherwise, I have to kind of like step around you and worry about everybody's feelings. I want you to hear the truth. And the reason why I want you to hear the truth is because I want you to receive the full reward. There's a full reward that God has for those who honor him. 1 Timothy 5:17. This is what the word of God says. It says that the elders who direct the affairs of the church well, the ones who don't do it well should be fired and replaced, but the ones who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, "Do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the grain." And the worker deserves his wages. There's only one place in all of Scripture that you'll find the term, to my knowledge, double honor. And the Bible says that we are to give ministers of the gospel not just honor. We don't just treat them like they're common. We give them honor. We treat them like they are extraordinary, like they are uncommon. And it says that the ministers of the gospel are to be treated with double honor. Whatever honor is, they're to be treated with double honor. The word says that we are to treat them with double honor. You need to hear these words because God wants to bring you into a place where you receive the full measure of his reward. Whenever someone comes into this church and preaches the gospel, when someone teaches your children, or Jacinda in ministering to the children of a church, and Pastor Joe in ministering to the youth of our church, and Pastor Rodney ministering, the word says that they are worthy, not just of honor, and Crystal in leading us into the presence of God through worship. They're not just worthy of honor, they're worthy of double honor. What does that look like? During the preaching of the word, you show honor when you listen attentively. To talk with someone else during the preaching of the word would be a dishonor to the one speaking, not to mention to the Holy Spirit. You show honor when you arrive early for service and refuse to do anything that would disrupt or distract other people from touching God. We show honor when we look for ways to help and to serve our leaders without being asked. When we look ahead and we remove unforeseen obstacles, we show honor when you're asked to do something and you do it promptly with excellence. We show honor when the leader shares with you a God-given vision instead of spending your time questioning their wisdom or their motives. That's really dishonoring. You show honor when you get on board and you say, God, what can I do to help make it happen? How can I make this vision possible? What is my part? How can I make things better? You show honor by trusting that your God-appointed leaders have the ability to hear from God. You show honor whenever there's a prayer meeting. You honor the man of God. When he calls a prayer meeting and 95% of the church comes out for prayer meeting, you show honor to the man of God. And I'm going to tell you, the church that does that is a church that's going to touch their world. That's a church that's going to touch their community. That's a family that's going to be touched by God. When you show honor, by all he has to do is say, it's a prayer meeting tonight. And the place is filled. Whenever the spiritual leader says these life groups are important, you show honor by being there and being a part. Whenever the leadership of the congregation says that this I plan is important, Do you realize, oh, Pastor, I'm not trying to dishonor anybody. I'm just busy. You know, what you're doing is you're treating others with contempt. You're treating them like they're ordinary. You're treating them like they're common. And so when we ask you to do an eye plan, what you need to do is you need to have it done right now. And when you leave here, you need to start calling those people. If you want to honor your leaders, that's the types of things that you do instantly. Pastor, what do you say? Listen, I'm telling you how to receive the reward from the Lord. Because can I tell you what? Whether you do it or not, I'm going to get my reward. God's going to take care of me. It's not about me. It's not about the church. It's about his kingdom. And it's about you coming into a place that you can receive all that God has for you. We show honor when our speech and behavior conveys the utmost respect. Growing up, I remember two individuals who dishonored our pastors. Both of them were nice people. They were always good to me. I never had a problem with any of them. And they liked me. I liked them. Everything's cool. I remember this one gentleman. You know, as a kid, you ever notice that as a kid, I want you to know, our 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids know what's going on in church. They know. They know people who are snakes. They do. No one has to tell them. As a kid, I remember the things that people would do. I remember here just knowing, as a kid, I knew, like, you can't trust them. My parents didn't say it. No one had to say it. I could see for myself. And this one gentleman, we had a pastor who was there. They were in a building program. And this one gentleman just undermined the pastor, just was a real thorn in his side, resisted him, made it difficult. And eventually, he tried to get a petition to get rid of the pastor. And my dad was on the board, and they came to my dad's house, and dad said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not a part of that. I appreciate that. You know why? Because if my dad would have sowed that kind of stuff, I'd be reaping it. I would be reaping it. I'm so glad my dad said, nope, not being a part of that. Never once, a couple of times they tried to do that in our church. Never once. My dad numerous times would say, nope, I'm not doing that. I'm not a part of that. No, that's not right. No, we're not doing that. And you know, the funny thing is one person stands up, others oftentimes back down. This guy gave him trouble. And the funny thing is this, shortly after, you know, the pastor left and he found his way to get out. They didn't kick him out, but they caused him so much grief. He left and went somewhere else. The funny thing is this gentleman had a bunch of property and he had a business. And right after he did that to our pastor, he had a bunch of properties. There was a bunch of people who were suing him, who were arguing with him, who were causing him trouble over the properties, disputes with him over properties, disputes with him over his business. He had all of this to the point where he almost had a nervous breakdown. Who brought that on? Was it the pastor's fault? The pastor's gone. He's somewhere else. Wasn't his fault. Here's the other part. You know, the Bible says that there are certain times that the sword will never leave your house. The Bible says that. It says, because you've done this, the sword will never leave your house. Shortly after that, his two sons are close brothers, worked in the same business. They married two girls. And their family, from then on, was divided. They couldn't do Christmas together. They couldn't do Thanksgiving together. They couldn't do Easter together. And they eventually had to split the company up because the wives fought so much. The grandchildren couldn't be together. Can I tell you what he did? He sowed something. And still today, the grandchildren are just like that. See, the sins of the father will be visited to the third and fourth generations, but God's favor will go to 1,000 generations of those who fear him. He's not left his house. He's an old man, and still grandchildren are acting crazy. There was a lady who stood up in a meeting and was really disrespectful. And within a very short period of time, all my life she had been healthy. In a very short period of time, she had a stroke, and she wasn't that old, and her husband had a heart attack. I wonder if some people will say it's coincidence, there's a consequence when you treat people with contempt, when you disrespect them, when you dishonor them. When people come into Lighthouse, here's the thing that we're going to do. Whether it's the children, whether it's the teenagers, whether it's the elderly, whether it's a homeless man, whether it's someone who's a businessman, someone who's poor, whatever situation, whatever nationality, when they walk in the door, this is what we've established, that people are extraordinary because they've been created and designed in the image of God, because they've been purchased with the blood. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. They've been purchased by his blood. Each person who walks in the door, no matter what their status in life, is to be treasured and treated in that way. We're also going to treat the gifts that God gives to the church with honor. So whenever an evangelist comes in, a missionary comes in. Can I tell you what? You know, next time a missionary comes in, this is what I want you to do, or an evangelist or some type of home missions person comes in to minister. I want to ask you this. Next time they come in, as soon as you see they're here, I'm going to ask you to write out a check. Just write out the check, $500. Put it in the offering plate for them. I promise you, their message won't be boring. You'll be like, what did they say? Some of you are like, well, I don't know if I like his ministry. Can I tell you, if you write out a check for $500, you're going to be sitting there saying, you'll be taking notes in your Bible. Oh, what did he say, honey? Oh, that was a good point. Wow, that was wonderful. Because you've shown honor to that person, and there's a reward that comes from the man or the woman who honors the Lord by honoring the ones who he has sent. There's a reward that comes with that. I don't want you to miss that. There's people who are never going to grow or mature spiritually because they fail to honor their Sunday school teacher. Oh, that's just Howard. Oh, that's just Pastor Weed. If that's the attitude that you have, I promise you, you won't receive. You're not going to receive anything from them. And it wouldn't matter who was there, because the problem is not with them. See, here's the thing. If you have a spirit of honor, God will supernaturally empower leaders. He'll drop words into them. He'll drop things of his spirit into them to give to you simply because you choose to honor the man or the woman of God. You will find when you honor them, you'll find that their preaching and their teaching far excels, goes way beyond their natural abilities because you have a spirit of honor. That same thing is true in the family. See, wives, I've told you this before, who are always disrespectful to their husbands, that beat them down. There's wives who will beat their husband down. He's no better than a dog. Then they wonder why he doesn't excel. And then you'll see these other women who get, you know, they get like a 3. They get a guy who's a 3. They treat him like he's a 10. He goes way beyond what he could naturally do on his own because he has a wife who believes and respects him. Your marriage is your garden. Look at your wife. Look at your husband. They're a result of you. How you're treating them, what you're pouring into them. They're a reflection of your ministry to them. So if there's a problem, I want to encourage you, you do something about it. You helped create the problem. And if they're flourishing, it's because of you. God's using you to speak through them and to empower them and encourage them. The form of honor that Paul was writing to Timothy about was financial, and you can look at the context. When you honor the one whom God has sent, you're honoring the Lord. And I told you about giving the evangelist $500. You'll be like sitting there, that was a good message. You know why? Because you have something invested in them. You're honoring the Lord. I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you, whenever you see Pastor Joe or you see Pastor Jaime and helping with the ministry down there at Restart, you see Pastor Rodney, you see Jacinda, you see Crystal, you see Nancy working in the office, I want to encourage you to do nice things for them. Treat them as somebody special. Don't call in. Hey, don't ever call into our office and be disrespectful to Nancy. I'm just going to tell you, don't ever do that. Don't ever call in. If you're in a bad mood about something, you come and talk to me. No one does that, but I'm just telling you in case you were thinking about it. You treat them with honor and you treat them with respect. I'm going to say this to you. When you think about them, and Karen, for all she does, and the evangelist and the missionary. You know, a lot of times we think of the evangelist or we think of somewhere far away. But these people are here every week ministering to your children, to your teenagers. Make an investment in them. Honor them. And as you honor them, can I tell you what will probably happen? When you as a parent show honor to the youth pastor, when you as a parent show honor to the children's ministry director, and you display that and you do something that's tangible, can I tell you that your kids will pick up on that and they'll have a spirit of honor and respect for them? And when they have a spirit of honor and respect, then they can receive from their ministry. If it's just, oh, it's Pastor Joe, that's Jacinda, they're not going to be able to receive very much. At your house, our youth pastor, he's the man. At your house, our children's minister, she's the woman. Crystal. Man, Crystal, Crystal leads us into the presence of the Lord every week. Lord, thank you for her. You treat those people, Pastor Rodney, you treat them and any of the other pastors here who speak or minister the word, you treat them with high esteem. Bless them. Find a way to do something nice for them, to encourage them. Because here's what the word says. There's a reward that goes with that. Listen, in Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord. Well, how do I honor the Lord? It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. I honor him with my wealth. Well, he's up in heaven. Honoring the Lord. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. We honor those who he has sent. With the first fruits of all your crops. And notice what it says. Here's the reward. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The barns represent the storage places. Your checkbook, your closet, your gas tank, your garage. It says that when you honor the Lord, here's the reward. He's going to provide for you. You're going to have more than enough. That's not some slick preacher telling you that. That's the word of God. The word of God says, when you honor me with your wealth, you're going to have more than enough. And notice what it says about your vats. It says, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Vats will overflow with new wine. Vats were used to store wine. Notice that it says they will overflow. The new wine represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. When you honor God financially, your barns will be filled, but you'll receive the full reward of the overflow of his presence. And isn't that what's most important? I'm going to say something. You can't buy God with $5, with $50, with 500, with 5,000, with 50,000. You can't buy him. He's not for sale. But when you honor him, he says there is a reward that comes from honoring him. And part of it is an overflow of the Spirit of God in your life. Why? Because it's an act of obedience. It's an act of exalting him, of acknowledging who he is. My prayer for you is this. You know, like a dad, I don't want to be goofy, but dad always would say to, it's like, dad, there wasn't anything he really wanted from us. Do you know what I mean? It was, I just want you to do well. I want you to serve the Lord. Dad didn't raise me up so that I could financially support him. You know what I mean? He supported me. And it wasn't, okay, when you turn 18 now, I'm going to quit my job and you're going to support me. That wasn't it. His desire was that each of us would be blessed of God, would serve God, that we would follow the Lord, and that we would just do the right thing, that we'd be blessed. Just wanted us to have a good life. And you know, for you as a pastor, that's my thing. I want you to receive the reward that God has for you. And it's possible for some of you, as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you through his word, there's some things that you need to start doing. You need to look around the people around you, and you've treated them just kind of like, there's Mike. Mike's a soul winner. God uses him to witness all the time. God's Spirit's on him. Eddie's a soul winner too. God's anointing is upon him. He gives Eddie favor with people. Anthony's a praiser. Get your praise on, brother. And Amanda's been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. Yeah, she's precious and honored in the Lord's sight. When you look around, I want to encourage you to see people, to see one another as valuable and precious. That when the pastor or the evangelist or the Sunday school teacher or the minister of the gospel gives you the word, take it and eat it. Devour it. It may seem so simple. Some of the things that we teach you, you may say, that's elementary. But I can promise you, when you start applying them, God's going to start pouring out his favor in your life, his blessings, the goodness of the Lord. You're going to grow. You're going to mature. You think, well, I've already heard that before. But a lot of you have heard things that you haven't done anything with yet. You've already heard it, but you've not applied it. Not being offensive, but I'm just telling you, we're going to honor the Lord with our giving. We're going to be generous. As a church, we want to be generous. We want to bless those pastors who we don't even know. We don't know their names. We don't know anything about them. All we know is that they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a church, we're going to bless them because they're God's messenger sent to change communities. Now, we love you. We appreciate you. And my prayer is that you'll receive everything that God has for you because there's a reward. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this godly group of people who have so many people comment on how gracious they are and how kind they are and how loving they are and how generous they are, how open they are to your spirit, Lord, and how they are concerned about the needs of others. Now, I'm asking you, Lord, to bring us up a level as a congregation. I'm asking you to pour out the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we would be attentive to every single word that you say. Lord, I pray like a good mechanic who's tuning an engine, Lord, a top fuel dragster, who's tuning it just perfectly to get the most out of that engine. God, I pray that we would tune in to what the Spirit of God is saying, that we wouldn't be off a little bit, but that we would tune in to you, and that we would take this word that you've given to us, and we would devour your word. And we would treat one another and see, first of all, see ourselves as precious, as glorious, Lord, as set apart for you. And that we would see one another in that same way, that we would honor one another above ourselves. We would honor our pastors, our evangelists, the fivefold ministry, those who preach your word, Lord. And that we would be a part of this last out day pouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the reward that comes. And we're looking forward, Lord, to laying those crowns at your feet. Because, Lord, you're worthy of all the praise and the glory and the honor. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.